September 11th means so much to all of us for so many different ways and reasons, and we still have the question as to why. I can still remember what I was doing on September 11th, the day of the terrorist attacks at Ground Zero in New York City. Much like now, I was getting ready for fantasy football. I was going up. Back then, we ran stat lines through the USA Today newspaper. I was going up to get my newspaper so I could do my stats from the day before. And they was talking about it at the gas station, how a plane had flew into one of the Twin Towers. By the time I had gathered up my papers and drove to my mom's restaurant across town, another plane had hit the second tower. And at that point, we all knew it wasn't an accident. It was an act of terrorism. And we all was just mesmerized and stunned. And even today, you know, here it is, 22 years later, I still get chills when I think about it. And when I watched the Cowboys and the Giants game last night, the FDNY hats, and the number of people that lost their lives that day in meaningless, cowardice attack on women, children, men, civilians, and all of those first responders that lost their life going in to save them. It means so much to so many people. I was fortunate enough I didn't lose anyone in that attack on September 11th, but so many people were, and so many people lost their life. So it's always good, even though it's, you could say Pearl Harbor was bad. Pearl Harbor was before me, 30-some years before me. But for most of us, this was it changed our lives. Okay, and it was very bad. And even though it was very bad, we all need to remember what this day means. The song, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?" And it almost felt like that for a long time, that we were all just clutching to the TV and clutching and wondering what news we could get that was going to make some sense out of all of this. And it wasn't just the Twin Towers. It was the Pentagon, and it was the planes that went down in the fields that humans, United States, Americans, sacrificed their life because they knew that they were going to be, you know, those planes were headed someplace else. And they sacrificed their life to save thousands of people that they will never even know. I have chills running up and down my arms and my legs right now. I'm not even making this up. Thinking about it. Every single year, we need to remember what this day means, and that how our freedom, we are so blessed to live in the country we live in. And if you don't want to live in this country, then I will help you pack. September 11th means so much to so many for so many different reasons. And we must never, ever forget. Welcome into the Seagate Blitz podcast. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Thank you for listening on this September 11th. A day of reflection. A day of appreciating and loving our country and what our country means to us and what we do have. The other countries do not. They fear and they are jealous of. So we're going to talk about some fantasy football. We're going to talk about week one of the NFL. But it is very important that you do not forget what this day signifies for all of those who sacrificed their life, lost their life, and continue to fight for our freedoms every single day. We are going to work through this turd that we had week one. We got some fantasy studs and duds, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. Off and on. But first,
here's what we know.
A couple of injuries I want to talk about right off the bat. And happy trails, J.K. Dobbins, and your NFL football career. I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful or anything, because you obviously have more ability and athleticism in your left, in your tore up knee than I have had my entire life. J.K. Dobbins was having a really good game yesterday. Scored a touchdown, was obviously on track to be the lead back for the, I mean, really solidify his role in that offense for the first time since he came out of Ohio State. Tore his Achilles. He had scored a touchdown. So this isn't really talking about fantasy stats and output. The touchdown saved your fantasy day, obviously, but this goes beyond that. I never want to see injury, and I've talked about this before. I never want to see a player get injured. It doesn't matter who they play for or any circumstance. I don't want players to get injured, because they are people too. Okay, so that's not what this is about. We want to take the time right now to talk a little bit about J.K. Dobbins' injury and what it means long-term, not only for him, but the NFL and for fantasy. But for him, this is terrible. And I hate it for him as a person because of what he has went through to get to where he's at, just to turn around and get hurt again. I think we've seen the last of J.K. Dobbins in a significant NFL role, and which in turn turns into a significant fantasy football role. I was reading up earlier, this is the last year of his rookie deal. That's double tough, because now you're looking at what? You're looking at getting signed, hoping to make a practice squad, and then get yourself rehabbed to get back on to somebody's practice field. I don't know that that's going to happen. We hate it for the young man, but yes, J.K. Dobbins out for the year, tore Achilles. And like I said, I think it's happy trails to his football career. A couple more injuries I want to talk about before I move into the turd that was fantasy week one. Anthony Richardson, rookie quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, got hit down on the goal line trying to take on linebackers and safeties like he's still in college. If you continue to do that, young man, your NFL career will be shorter than I already think it's going to be. Says he's fine, says he's going to play. Coach kind of reaffirmed that. So keep your eyes posted on that come about Wednesday or Thursday on the injury report to see how that looks before you fire him up for next week. But all signs point to him playing. Deontay Johnson, Pittsburgh Steelers, looks like it's a significant hamstring injury. Well, we're looking at maybe a couple of months. See you later. Didn't look like it was just going to be like a tweak or a pull or, you know, something like that. Looked pretty bad. That is definitely a blow to the Pittsburgh offense, which did not look very good yesterday. I'll get to that here in a little bit. Another injury I want to talk about, and I really don't know a whole lot as to the details. Austin Eckler seems to have gotten dinged up. That might be day-to-day. He could be a gigantic loss, even for a couple of weeks in your fantasy lineups. If you drafted him high up in the first or second round, you put a lot of fantasy or a lot of draft capital in him. Keep your eyes posted on that. There are probably some more that I'm missing or I haven't wrote down. Just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on the injuries. We had a few significant ones in week one, like we always do. I'll get into my thoughts on the reasons why for that as we go on through. New AP College Top 5 came out. Hot dog, we got Georgia 1, Michigan 2, my Noles at 3, Texas at 4, USC 5. The significance of that is Bama got beat pretty convincingly by the Texas Longhorns. They jumped from 11 to 4. That's a 7-spot jump if you do the math. Big jump for the Longhorns. Very interesting to see how the first couple weeks have shaken out in the college ranks. I think Ohio State was 6th. I can't remember the rest of the top 10 off the top of my head. I don't know that it's a down season for the SEC, or if it's just that the transfer portal has caught up with some of these other schools, because the transfer portal is doing well for these other schools, conferences, maybe playing a little bit better early on ahead of the SEC. Not saying it's going to continue that way, just saying as of right now, everybody else is whipping the SEC. I say all of that to say this. I have a new segment. We're going to talk about that right now.
Devy, Player of the Week.
Every week I'm going to give you a potential Devy stud that can translate. Now, I'm not talking college fantasy here, people. I'm talking Devy, Player of the Week, that I'm keeping my eyes on going into the next level. I'll talk a little bit about the college or the AP poll. Not much, because this is an NFL fantasy show, but I cover football. That's what I do, people. I live for football. So, last week, if I would have done a show, it would have most definitely have been Travis Hunter. I think Travis Hunter, if you don't know who Travis Hunter is, climb out from under the rock. He is a wide receiver, cornerback for the Colorado Buffaloes. He transferred to Colorado from Jackson State. He went with Deion when Deion left to go there, and he has done very well his first 2 weeks, playing multiple snaps on both sides of the ball. The young man has got to be tired at the end of the day. The only problem is when he goes into the NFL, they're going to have to pick a side, and we hope that he hasn't wore out too much on his tires. It would have been easy to make Travis Hunter the Week 2 Devy Player of the Week, but you can't do that, because that wouldn't be any fun at all. So here's your guy to watch. If you're in college fantasy, you're in a college Devy league, you already know this guy. He's not available. He's already been taken. If he hasn't, you're in a league where you can rule it. Go get this guy if he's available. But it is none other than Texas Longhorn quarterback Quinn Ewers. 6'2", 195. He needs to beef up. Actually, he lost some weight in the offseason. He was a little bit thicker. But I like him at the next level. What he did against Texas was nothing short of amazing. 349 passing yards, 3 touchdowns against the Alabama Crimson Tide. What do I say about gauging college quarterback talent? How do they play against big name college schools? Okay, I'm not interested in Quinn Ewers against Austin Peay, but I'm very interested at Quinn Ewers versus Alabama. He's going to translate well into the NFL. He will be a high draft pick. He will go somewhere, and he's going to get his shot. Every year we think, well, where are these quarterbacks going to go? What teams need a quarterback? Well, I'm going to tell you, people, NFL teams need quarterbacks all the time. Okay, even if you're a backup, okay, you don't think for 1 minute that the Saints aren't looking to better deal Jameis Winston and get a backup coming in that's going to replace Carr at some point? It's happening. Right now in Tampa Bay, they're probably thinking, are we tanking for Caleb Williams? Or, you know, can we do good and maybe pick up Quinn Ewers later on? I'm going to give you a guy every week to keep an eye on as your Devy Player of the Week. Sometimes it might be, you know, a no-brainer. Sometimes it might come out of nowhere. You can't overlook what he did against Alabama. This Texas team is for real, and I know you're probably going to think it's a homer pick because I always say, give me all that Texas smoke. This is the reason. This is the reason why. For the past two seasons, I've been gathering up Texas Longhorn players because of these reasons. Steve Sarkisian is a good coach. Quinn Ewers left Ohio State to go to Texas for a reason, and this is it. He's got big-name talent around him at wide receiver. Yes, they did lose Bijan Robinson, but this could be even bigger for him. This could be bigger passing numbers, and I don't know. To me, it's too soon to talk about Heisman Trophy candidates. Okay, as much as I would love to put Jordan Travis number two in the Heisman race right now, it's just a little premature. Okay, we've got 2 weeks in. We've got a long way to go. But if I had to put four guys in the running for the Heisman right now, Quinn Ewers is getting one of my invites. So that's it. Quinn Ewers, quarterback Texas, your Devy player of the week. Okay, so let's get into week one of the NFL because this is I was listening to a podcast earlier today, NFL week one. This year is down like 20 touchdowns less than it was last year, and then 30 some from the year before. Now, we got a game tonight, but they're not going to catch up. It's just not going to happen. Well, I have a reason for this, people, because I have a reason for everything. This is what happens when you don't play your guys in the preseason. Okay, this was like a preseason game. Week one was a preseason for your starters. You're talking rust all over the place. You're talking not being in sync. You look like crap. Yes, a bunch of teams played in foul weather, but guess what? The other teams playing in foul weather too. Okay, you don't think for 1 minute. Dallas and the Giants played in a rainstorm last night. Dallas showed up. Giants stayed in the locker room. But you're both playing in the same elements. So, you know, if the Browns can muster up what they mustered up, then Joe Burrow is either A, really rusty and not in sync, or he's still hurt. Because I've never seen somebody play that bad. And this is a guy who just got bajillion million dollars just a few days ago. And I get you don't play your guys, you don't want to get them hurt. I get that. Well, are you okay with taking a loss in week one and looking like crap? Because you looked like crap. A lot of these teams did. And a lot of these teams, we had some players show up that we didn't think was going to show up. Well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But when teams as a whole, and it really was a turd week one, you know, we're going to struggle. And I kind of knew we was going to struggle because we did last year. Not to this note, but we did struggle last year. Takes a couple weeks for teams to get going because they're just not playing them in the preseason. And I guess it's okay to lose the first week or two of the season because you got so many games. Does it help us as fantasy enthusiasts? Heck no, it's just the opposite. Because now we're scrambling. And I said earlier on one of my podcasts that I did for one of my league shows was don't panic and don't go changing a bunch of guys out from week one to week two. Well, there are a few of those guys that I'm going to make an exception on this time around. And we're going to get into that as we go through this. So let's start going through the games. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but we're going to start going through the games, and I'm going to tell you the guys that I'm steering away from. Brief overview, Thursday night game, Lions upset the Chiefs 21-20, not panicking on anything there except Sky Moore. Sky Moore, I don't want no part of it. I already traded him in a league. As soon as I'm allowed to cut him in another league, I'm cutting him. I'm not going down that road because once they get Kelsey back, it's going to be the Mahomes-Kelsey show and whoever comes open, you know, as a second or third option. Not really spending a whole lot of time on that game. Not really panicking anywhere. I do like the Lions. They show that they are for real. And those fantasy assets on that team could pay off and be league winners, a la Amon-Ra St. Brown and David Montgomery. Okay, let's start with the Rams and the Seahawks. Rams 30, Seahawks 13. The significance of this game is a couple of things. One, don't spend all your fab on Puka Nakayu. Okay, don't do it. You can go get him. Sure, I put in a couple of places for him. I put in a couple of places real cheap, though. Because you got to understand, as soon as Cooper Kupp comes back, Puka Nakayu is going to fade back into the mist. He's not going to get the target share that he's getting right now once Cooper Kupp comes back. So don't blow a bunch of money on him just because he had a good game and he got a bunch of targets. I don't know that's going to be sustainable. I'm no longer interested in starting Cam Akers, and that hurts to say. To me, the Cam Akers experiment is over. The touchdown, that turd touchdown he scored, saved your fantasy day. But I'm not willing to risk that going forward. So he's one of the ones I was talking about making an adjustment. I'm not doing it. 22 carries for 29 yards and a touchdown. That's ass sorry is what that is. Dolphins, Chargers, really good game. Watched the biggest part of this game was watching Red Zone and kept flashing to it. This game was back and forth. I still don't get Tua went for 400 plus, okay? Because he's got two cheetahs out there to throw the ball to. I get that. Okay, as long as he's healthy, it's going to be great. It's going to be great for him. Okay, Raheem Mostert played well because Jeff Wilson's on IR. The running back room there is still a little murky. I don't dislike Tua. I'm just afraid that when he gets hit and he gets hurt, that's going to be the end of it, and then they're going to struggle again. Until that happens, roll out Tua. I was just trying to get rid of him in any league I had, and I was trying not to I had people trying to give him to me, and I didn't want him. It paid off. He's not going to throw for 400 every week. He's just not going to. Because once these defenses get woke up and get in shape, you know, you're playing NFL talent now. But what a week for the Chargers. What a game, or what a week for the Dolphins. I mean, what a game between them and the Chargers. Went back and forth, round and round, came down to the end. I mean, it was a really good game. You know, congratulations on the Dolphins for getting a win. Eagles-Patriots. This is another one I'm not really freaking out about. Okay, this game was terrible to start out. They were playing in bad weather. The Eagles jumped out to a big lead. Patriots came roaring back with a couple of chances to win. But Keyshawn Boutte still thinks he's in college and can't get both feet down on a couple of crucial plays for them. And it cost the Patriots to win in the long run. If you've got Kendrick Bourne available in your leagues, I've already put in a couple of waiver bids on getting him. I think that could be something. He really showed out yesterday, and I think that maybe he's taken steps, and they even talked about it. Tony Romo even talked about it in the broadcast. He's taken steps to become the number one there for the Patriots and Mac Jones. I still don't believe in any of the running backs. Don't ever do that. But I'm not opposed to starting Kendrick Bourne, put him in a flex spot, and if he's available in some leagues, go and get him. I don't want you to spend half your fab. You know, throw a few bucks on him and go pick him up. Because I think he could be something. For the Eagles, I'm not worried about that, okay? Jalen Hurts didn't look fantastic, but the Eagles ended up getting the win. They were going to win that game probably. It's just a matter of, you know, they're just a better team. Better teams find their ways to win, and they did. Raiders-Broncos, battle of the AFC West. Raiders 17, Broncos 16. I'm not saying that Jimmy G is going to be okay, but I think he'll be okay. In a two-quarterback league or a super flex league where you have to play Jimmy G, I'm not opposed to it. He still has Davante Adams to throw to, and he still has the league-leading running back last season to hand the ball off to. I'm not worried about Josh Jacobs either. Like I said, a lot of these guys getting their footing in week one, week two, I think they're going to be fine going forward. A lot of these I'm not panicking on. Bears-Packers, this game was a little bit, I didn't know it was going to go this good. Jordan Love is someone who, if you like what you saw from him in the preseason and what you saw from him, you know, last year in mop-up duty and so far this year, that could be a good deal right there. Okay, he's going to get Christian Watson back. He's got Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs is another guy that if he's on your waiver wire, go get him. He's not going to always get those kind of targets because Christian Watson's going to get some of them when he comes back. But that 1-2, that and them two wide receivers for Jordan Love could be something for the Packers this year. For the Bears, we got some questions, huh? Two targets to DJ Moore after all the talk and the hype in the preseason? Was DJ Moore and Justin Fields have a connection and their chemistry and blah, 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 blah? What do I say? Don't fall in love with what you hear in the preseason. I am done with that hogwash. I'm not doing it anymore. Okay? So the Bears didn't play bad, but they didn't play like we thought they should have. Okay? Roshan Johnson is a guy who, if you're in shallower leagues and it's a keeper league or, you know, some kind of a league, go get him, stash him, put him in your taxi or whatever, because I'm still liking what I see from Roshan Johnson, and I think at some point he's going to take over, because to me, yesterday, he was the best back. And some of it was in some time when it doesn't really matter, but he still got in the end zone, and he still caught, I don't know, what was it, five passes? Okay, that's fantasy points, right? That's double points, I think, people. So if he's available in your leagues, which he probably isn't, in deeper leagues, shallower leagues, maybe. Texans, Ravens, and we know this was going to happen. Okay, we already talked about J.K. Dobbins getting hurt. That stinks for him. But maybe this is the deal for Gus Edwards and the one kid that they got there, too, that's really fast. Can't think of his name right off the top of my head. Scored a touchdown when Dobbins got hurt. It's not coming to me. I think he went to Oklahoma State. It might come to me later on. But those guys now are going to have a chance. Okay, and they may bring in someone like Fournette or Kareem Hunt. I was reading something about that on Yahoo this morning, that they may bring in someone, bring in a veteran to take that over. The Texans are going to be a work in progress. I don't trust any of that situation right now. Okay, I like Nico Collins, and he's about the only one, but there's going to be growing pains with the rookie quarterback. So the Ravens won the game. Lamar Jackson wasn't spectacular, but I'll tell you who was, and this is one of my fantasy studs and duds this week, is Zay Flowers. That kid is all over the place, running sweeps in the running game, catching the ball, runs crisp routes. Once upon a time, I had him in the Devy Hitman. Once upon a time in a fantasy league not so long ago, I drafted him, and I ended up cutting him, and now I am totally regretting that because now his stock and his price just doubled overnight. Commanders, Cardinals. Commanders 20, Cardinals 16. If you look at this game, the Commanders should have walked away with this game. Another player that I'm going to put on the bench, I'm not cutting right now, is Antonio Gibson. I'm not starting him anywhere, anytime soon, in any of my fantasy leagues. To me, this is a Brian Robinson show. He got in yesterday. Gibson fumbled the ball. I was like, you know, I'm just not willing to do that right now. I'm going elsewhere. I don't care for anybody on the Cardinals' offensive side of the ball, fantasy-wise, either. I mean, you got to hand it to Josh Dobbs. He went to that team a couple of weeks ago. Doesn't know his players. Doesn't know who he's playing with. Going in there, and bless his heart, he's trying his best he can. This is a game the Commanders should have won. It should have been more than 4 points. They stole a victory. And, you know, but all of this goes back to, you know, we didn't play guys in the preseason, and everybody's rusty, and nobody looks good except the Dallas defense. And, you know, we're moving along. Niners-Steelers, this game was ugly pretty fast. Niners 30, Steelers 7. I think that was a mercy touchdown that they scored late. I don't know for sure. Niners defense is really good. We already knew that. That's no big secret. I think maybe we were all surprised, as am I, that Brock Purdy played as well as he did. A couple of touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk, another one of my fantasy studs, caught two of those touchdown passes. Probably saved your fantasy day in certain leagues if you had Ayuk in there. I know he did for me for sure. Niners are going to be a good team. We already know that. For the Steelers, I'm not panicking yet. Okay, I heard people wanting to. I saw some stuff on Twitter where people are done with the Kenny Pickett experiment. Look, guys, you got to give him a little bit of time. And they were playing the Niners, for crying out loud. Okay. It was week one, for one. Playing the Niners, that's not a good task. And you had very limited playing time to get yourself ready for the NFL season. Don't blame Pickett. Blame the system for right this minute. I'm not panicking on anything there other than maybe the wide receiver room because they lost one. And now we're going to be scrambling for what to do with the wide receivers in Pittsburgh. They may bring somebody in, although I have no idea off the top of my head who it would possibly be. Saints-Titans, this was a real tight game. Wasn't pretty, wasn't great. Saints 16, Titans 15. Nothing really to stand out other than Michael Thomas looks like he's healthy. Caught a bunch of passes, looked good. Was able to finish the game, which I think in its own right should be applauded. and, you know, didn't get hurt. And, you know, he could reestablish himself, you know, with Chris Olave, who I think did get hurt. And the Saints could be a very good football team. Week one isn't really indicative of anything. But, you know, this team could be good with what they've got there. And if Olave and Thomas can stay healthy and Carr gets the chemistry there and they get Kamara back, you know, this could be a really good football team down in New Orleans. For the Titans, I don't know. It looked like I read something somewhere where Derrick Henry was out snapped and he didn't even play as much. We could be a changing of the guard right there. Ryan Tannehill didn't look very good to me. He looked like he's starting to get a little bit age on him. The wide receivers are already old. Treylon Burks is still somebody who I'm hanging on to. But it's another one of those wait-and-see approaches. I don't know. There's just not a whole lot to like there you know, on the offensive side of the ball. Bucks 20, Vikes 17. I mean, if you played Mike Evans, he had a decent day, scored a touchdown, probably saved your fantasy day. Still don't know how I feel about this whole Baker Mayfield thing. We're going to have to wait and see. I don't like the running backs in Tampa. I think they got lucky. The Vikings weren't crisp. They weren't sharp, although Justin Jefferson had a monster game. He had like 10 catches, over 100 yards and some stuff, so he had fantasy volume. Jordan Addison, I think, caught a touchdown as a rookie. That's his first game as a rookie. So there are some things to like in Minnesota, but they're going to have to get their footing. Another one of those classic games where week one really isn't indicative of what we're going to see from them. I'm not panicking on either one of those teams. I am curious, though, to see how long Baker Mayfield can keep that Buccaneers ship afloat. Get that? That was funny. Jags 31, Colts 21. What we saw yesterday was, I played taps at the beginning of the show. I think I'm playing taps for Christian Kirk's fantasy value. Okay? That fantasy value has now been transferred into Agent Zero, who is Calvin Ridley, who was just all over the place, obviously the go-to for Trevor Lawrence. And I think we're looking at Christian Kirk fading into the mist, and in his good year he had last year is in jeopardy. Now, if Kirk, he could get some play. If Ridley gets hurt, don't cut him. I'm not running him back out there. I have him in a couple of places. I'm not running him back out there just yet. For the Colts, Anthony Richardson, he threw some passes that just make me, I'm just like, yep, that's what you guys wanted. You wanted that, you got that, live with it. Okay, live with it. 21 points, congratulations. But your defense gave up 31, and you lost a football game. So the Jaguars, better team, should have won that game. So they did. You know, there's going to be ebbs and flows with Anthony Richardson. We all know that. Some of the throws were just horrible. I mean, guys open, throwing them behind them. I mean, and it wasn't even a hard throw. It just wasn't there, and he's going to have those in a growing pain season. Browns, Bengals. Now, this one here aggravated me. It cost me two wins because I got Burrow in two leagues, and Joe Burrow cost me big time. Going to cost me a loss maybe in the Devy League, and I never lose in that league, the Devy Hitman. Browns 24, Bengals 3. The Bengals didn't make the trip up north, apparently. They looked like crap, straight up and down. T. Higgins, no catches. Jamar Chase had a few, but nothing crazy. Burrow was terrible. And I didn't really see anything from the Browns that blew me out of my chair. They just played better, was well better prepared, and you know, it was terrible rain, but like I said, both teams play in the same weather. So the Browns just handed it to the Bengals. For some reason, the Browns had the Bengals' number, and they always seem to play Burrow tough, and once again, they did it. Atlanta 24, Carolina 10, another conference matchup. This game wasn't spectacular. Another Drake London, zero catches. So Drake London, T. Higgins, Dallas Goedert, all had as many catches as I did in the NFL yesterday, which was zero. But we did see, though, if you watch Red Zone or you was able to watch this game on whatever server you're on, we did see what we knew was coming from Bijan Robinson. A couple of really nice electric plays, the touchdown reception where he made the guy miss, made him look almost foolish, and then just kind of tiptoed into the end zone. Awesome play for Bijan Robinson. That's just a taste of what's to come. Now, Tyler Allgeier. Let's talk about Tyler Allgeier for just a minute. I think this is going to be what we're going to have, at least until Bijan gets some more footing in the NFL. We're going to see a little bit of this. Tyler Allgeier, big game, and I didn't play him anywhere, and I really thought about it. There towards right around the 1 o'clock kickoff, I thought maybe I'll just slide Allgeier in a league. I think I got two shares of him. I thought maybe I'll play him in a league, and now I wish I would have. Big game for him. I don't think it was a fluke. I think we're going to see this. I think we're going to see both guys until Allgeier proves that he can't do it anymore, and then they're going to give it to Bijan. As far as Desmond Ridder goes, I wouldn't play him, start him, and even in a two-quarterback league, I'd find someplace else to go. I'd go elsewhere. Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, any of those options, I'm taking over Desmond Ridder right now at a quarterback two position. In a one-quarterback position, if he's the best you got, you're in for a very, very long season. Hopefully you have a better starter in a one-quarterback league. If not, make a trade, upgrade. Game of the day, Cowboys-Giants. Oh, my goodness. I knew the Cowboys' defense was good. I knew they were going to be good. I didn't know they was going to be that good. Now, either the offensive line for the Giants is just that bad, or the Dallas too deep is better than the Giants' offensive starters. Because even when they pulled their starters and was playing the second and third string, they were still dominating that Giants offensive line. Started off, the Giants came down, was moving the ball, went to kick a field goal. They blocked it. They ran it back for a touchdown, and the route was on after that. A tipped pick six. Another defensive score for your IDP or for your DSTs if you had to Dallas, which I did, by the way. Single-handedly won me a game, by the way, the DST. Dak didn't impress. Pollard, two touchdowns. You know, we're going to see a little bit of that. Him and Rico Dowdle, I think we're going to see that going forward. So you're still playing Pollard. You just don't think you're going to see large volumes from Pollard. You may get three or four catches, 60 to 80 yards. Occasionally he'll pop for the 100, one touchdown, two touchdowns. Those are going to be weeks where he doesn't do that. But you're still going to run him out there for the possibility. Dak, I don't know. I mean, this new offense, it seems like he's a little bit more settled with McCarthy calling the plays. He seemed a little bit more at ease. But it also may be a little bit more of a time-consuming offense where they're not in such a hurry to run as many plays, which is going to back things off. You know, you're still running Dak out there, obviously, but I just don't expect him to do the 350 games and the four touchdowns, and he runs one in. I don't expect to see those on a regular basis, not a week in, week out, you know, even maybe two or three this season. But you're still playing him, you know, because he does have the big play potential to CeeDee Lamb. And, you know, we have some issues in Dallas with the tight end. Ferguson, I don't know, five targets maybe yesterday, caught two of them, and three of them, he just flat dropped them. So it wasn't just him. The other tight end, he dropped probably a touchdown. But it's week one. Those guys didn't play. You know, they're going to get in sync, and we're just – I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill with week one. That's what this theme of this show for the last 35 minutes has been about, is not making a mountain out of a molehill, but – read the writing on the wall with some of these players, okay? Read the writing on the wall with Sky Moore, with Cam Akers. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I'm not jumping off the Drake London train just yet. But, you know, if you have more questions on these players, hit me up on Twitter, at CGapBlitz. If you have, you know, hey, Chris, is this a guy you may be thinking of? What's your thoughts on this player? Was he one of the ones you're thinking about hanging on to? You know, but read the writing on the wall. You know, what we've seen was Kyren Williams just straight run the ball better than Cam Akers. It didn't take a rocket scientist, because if I seen it, an old dumb carpenter from Ohio, coaches are going to see it. Maybe Cam Akers just doesn't run him with any heart. Didn't look like it, because he'd run into the tooth of a defense and then just go down. Like, he's running with no grit, no determination, no drive. And we went through this last year. He had an issue where it was going to cut him. He was done playing. I thought he had played his last game for the Rams. And all of a sudden, you know, bing, bang, boom, we made up. We kissed and made up. Everything's great in la-la land. And now you hear all these good reports about Cam Akers throughout the summer and preseason. Now, I didn't see it yesterday. I didn't see it. So I'm not cutting him, but I'm not playing him in week two. And we'll see where it goes. I put in some waiver or some fab bids on Kyren Williams. So, you know, that's where we're at. We're off and running, people. We've got one more game tonight. Jets, Bills in New York. It's going to be a very emotional evening in New York because of it being September 11th. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to see the Jets play. I want to see how this works. I want to see Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson, and I want to see how Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall, and apparently they're both going to play. I want to see how that works in week one against a perennial AFC playoff contender with the Buffalo Bills. I want to see how this goes. I'm excited for it, and we'll talk a little bit about it more probably next week as to how they do. But until then, I mean, I don't know my overall record in fantasy this week. I'm not done yet. I still have a couple of games. Tonight's game is going to hinge on a couple of games that I'm still playing in, so I don't know. I think I'm above 500. I went 3-0 my first week in college. I went 1-2 this week. It was a down week for me. But I'm off and running. Fantasy season's off and running. I hope you guys are ready for it, because it is here. That will do it for me. My name is Chris Dogwall. You can find me on Twitter at CGapBlitz. You can find the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up with some messages, start sits. If you like these guys, don't like these guys, I'm happy to answer them. I'm going to use the old Matthew Berry expression. If it helps you, you're welcome. If you don't, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Blitz.